firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with
you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Have you heard of that expression? Well, today on Through the Bible, we'll learn the context of this famous metaphor. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're making the study of God's Word a priority today. We've got a great lesson ahead with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Our text is the Gospel of John chapter 15, part of Jesus' farewell discourse, as some have called it. And I'd like to think of chapters 14 through 16 as what Jesus, knowing that the cross was near, wanted to make sure that we all knew before he died. In today's study, we'll learn where we get strength and power to live the Christian life and what it means to bear fruit. Dr. McGee will tell us three words that we need to understand. Listen for them. We've got time today to read one letter from the Bible bus, and this one, by the way, is hand-delivered by a couple who serve our group of Christians in southeastern Myanmar. Our producer there recently gave them solar audio players loaded with TTB in the Burmese language along with some Bibles. This is a great letter, but the English is a bit choppy at times, so listen for their heart behind their words. Our friends in Dawai send messages to me that they got great benefits from the Bible study series. They now know the what, why, who, and when of the Bible, its background and inside meaning of passages. Most listeners are women and children since the men are at work. Many women say they listen from morning to when they go to sleep. Some said they keep on listening because as they do what they learn, a lot of good things happen in their home. Some have told me how it has solved some difficult problems without conflict, and the most good thing is they get deep assurance for God's love and salvation. When they used to read God's Word, sometimes they felt saved, sometimes they felt guilty and unsaved. Sometimes they got so afraid by some pastor's messages that it made them sure they will go down to hell. So they became afraid to open the Bible. But now, as they understand, little by little, more how to divide the Bible and see inside of the messages, they see God's love and how he is making a way for them to know him. We send our thanks to you and all your friends who support this message getting to us in many ways. And though we could not mention all of your names, one by one, it will be known in eternity before God the impact each one of you by name. May God bless you and your ministry so that you can bless the nations more and more. Wow, isn't that great? And did you hear that thanks to all those who pray and financially support this ministry so that others can hear the good news of Jesus Christ? If that includes you, then please take this encouragement to heart. And going forward, let's decide together to do what we can do. As this brother and sister write, bless the nations more and more. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this fruit that we hear about in Myanmar. Thank you that you choose to use us to get your word to them and to millions worldwide who could hear your word no other way. Teach us today in our study what it means to fellowship with you so that we can be the vines that produce much fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is still in the upper room discourse. However, our Lord did not give this in the upper room. At least the assumption is that he did not, because the last statement he made in chapter 14 is, "Arise, let us go hence." Now, did they go immediately out of the upper room? It is assumed, of course, that they did. However, he could have given John 15 in the upper room, but it doesn't seem likely to me that that is the way it took place. Now, somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord gave John 15 and 16. And then John 17 is the prayer that he prayed. He probably prayed this prayer on the way out to the garden and it probably was as he entered the garden. This is not the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that we have in John 17. Now, the thing I think would be helpful would be to try to locate the place where our Lord gave John 15 when he began by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, it has been the belief of a great many expositors that our Lord gave this part of the upper room discourse down in the valley of Kidron, or on the side of the hill there, or the side of the Mount of Olives, because we know at that time there was a vineyard in that area that covered that valley. We also know that it was full moon, because it was Passover, and it couldn't have been Passover if it hadn't have been full moon. And so there in the full moon, with that vineyard before them, our Lord said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, he could have well have done that, and that would have been an appropriate place. But there has been another suggestion made, and it has been made by several of the English expositors, and very candidly, it's the one I accept, that that night he went by the temple, and following the law as meticulously as he did, I'm of the opinion that he went by the temple that night. The gates were open all night on this Passover night, and at the temple there were the gates there. Those beautiful gates of the temple were really a tourist attraction. They had been forged over in Greece. They had been floated across the Hellespont and then brought to Jerusalem and put into Herod's temple there. They were made of bronze, the gates were, and there was woven into the gate with gold, there was woven in there, a golden vine, and that vine was the badge of the nation Israel. The fact of the matter is, that vine stood for the nation Israel. There's probably no figure of speech that is so appropriate as the vine that sets forth this nation. It became a badge of the nation, just like the burning bush is, and I think just like the olive tree is. But it's quite definite, so stated in Scripture, the Old Testament, that the vine set forth the nation Israel. Listen now to several Scriptures. Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it fill the land. That's obvious that he's talking about the nation Israel and using the vine. And if you have any doubts about that, turn to Isaiah 5, and that actually is a psalm, and it begins like this. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now notice verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. Now friends, that makes it specific. There's no way of dodging or avoiding the fact that the vine was Israel. Now, he says here in Jeremiah 2, verse 21, I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? And then finally, in Hosea, the 10th chapter, verse 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Now, I think it's quite clear that the vine is a picture of the nation Israel. Now, our Lord in the upper room, friends, is saying one of the most revolutionary things that you've ever heard. That is, for those men in that day, this was strange to their ears. It sounds so familiar to us today. Will you listen to him? And I want to change this just a little. I am the true vine. The word true here is alethene. And a thing can be true in one of two ways. It can be true over against error or falsehood. But it can be true over against that which is a counterfeit. And that's the way it's used here. And I think a better translation would be this. I am the genuine vine. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying to these men with their background and their roots deep in the Old Testament, he is saying to them, now, brethren, to be identified with a religion and with a nation is no longer the essential thing. I am the genuine vine, and to be joined to me. And this is a marvelous figure of speech our Lord used, by the way, so that he's making it very clear, and this is revolutionary, friends, and it's still true today. It is not your identification with a religion or a ceremony or a group or this organization or that. The important thing, are you identified with Christ? Are you in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes the moment you trust Christ as Savior and are born again and become a child of God? He says, I am the genuine vine. And now he says, my Father is the husbandman. And in these passages we've given in the Old Testament, God has been the owner of the vineyard and he's been the one running it. But here he's the one that cultivates it also. And he is the one that does that. And, you know, I think that you have here the vine and the branch. You remember it says of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament that he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He's the vine, and we must be joined to him. For what purpose? For fruit bearing. Now, there are three things that he's going to say here that are very, very important. And I want you to notice them. There are three words, and I'll read about three verses here to pick them up. Listen to this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, there are three words here that I think if we understand them, we'll understand what our Lord is speaking about. One is the little preposition in. Now, those of you who've listened to our program over a period of time, know that I've put a great emphasis on the little preposition in when it precedes Christ or any pronoun that refers to him. Here, it's every branch in me. Now, what does it mean, really, to be saved? Now, the theologians, as I've indicated before, come up with some tremendous words. And they're Bible words, good words, propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, and even salvation. But all of those words actually only cover one particular phase of salvation. Not one of them covers the entire spectrum of salvation. Now, what word does? Well, every branch in me. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be in Christ. And there are only two groups of people, those that are in Christ, those that are out of Christ. And how do you get in Christ? By the new birth. And as I've already mentioned, that when you trust Christ as Savior, you become a child of God through faith in Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. But the Spirit does something else. He not only indwells you, but he also baptizes you. And that's what puts you in the body of Christ. Every branch in me. So now we're talking about believers here, friends. We're not talking about how anybody gets saved. We're not actually talking about salvation in this passage. We're going to talk about fruit bearing, because notice that's the next word, fruit. Now, the little preposition in occurs seven times. Now, fruit occurs six times, and I'm just taking the first 10 verses here. You see, you could follow these on down. And we have here fruit, and you have 3 degrees of fruit bearing, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And the whole purpose here is to bear fruit. We're going to see what the fruit really means. Now, the third word is the word abide, abide in me. Now, that word abide here, it occurs 9 times in these first few verses. I have the statement of someone else who says that it occurs 15 times here, and that's just a few more than I can count, but I'm not good at mathematics, so it may be 15 times. The important thing, it occurs more than any other word, and that, of course, is the modus operandi by which we bear fruit. So here we have in Christ, and we have fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and then abiding in Christ. Now let's look at what our Lord is saying here. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now when he takes it away, where is he taking it? Well, he takes it away from the place of fruit bearing. And how do you remove a branch? Well, you trim it off, by the way. Listen to the way he describes it in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Now somebody says, ooh, that sounds like you lose your salvation. Didn't we just say we're not talking about salvation? We're talking about fruit bearing. We're talking about that which is the result of being saved. Now, to begin with, what is fruit? And I think it's very important to determine what the fruit is. Now, I do not believe that fruit here is soul winning, as so many people seem to think. I believe that is the byproduct of it. But the fruit, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. My, that's the fruits of the Spirit that are in a believer's life. And here you have 3 that are really mentioned. You have, for instance, prayer effectual. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. It shall be done unto you. That's one of the fruits, prayer effectual. And then verse 8 here, he says, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And that's fruit perpetual. And then you have verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And it's joy celestial, prayer effectual, fruit perpetual, joy celestial. That's the things that are mentioned here, and that's fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions. Now, if a person has those in his life, he will be bringing men into the presence of God by his very life, if not by his spoken word. And that, of course, makes soul winning a byproduct. But the important thing here is he wants fruit in our lives. Now, when a branch doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. He removes it. Well, how does he remove it? Well, one of the ways he removes it is by taking that person away from the place of fruit bearing. Now, I know many that have been set aside today, that they no longer effective for God at all. There are ministers like that. There are laymen like that today. I don't care about being specific about this, but how true it is. And then there's some that are taken away in death. Now, I believe that that's what John means in his first epistle when he says there's a sin unto death. Now, that means physical death. That means that a Christian can go on into sin until God will remove him from the place of fruit bearing. Ananias and Sapphira are an example of that. God removed them. I don't think Ananias and Sapphira lost their salvation. I think that they just were removed from the early church that was a fruit-bearing church, a holy church. And these two liars just couldn't stay in that church. Now, they're very comfortable in our churches today, I'll say that. But they couldn't have been in the early church. But what he's talking about here, you see, is taking away a branch that won't bear fruit. And then he says, even when a branch is bearing fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, this word purge is an interesting word. It's been translated prune, of course, in many places, and I like that. I think that the thought is here. But actually, the word in the Greek is kathare, and it means to cleanse, and it's to forget that in that day they didn't have the sprays to use, and they actually would take water, and they would take some sort of a cloth or hyssop or something, and they would just cleanse the vine with that, just wash the vine when there was aphis on it or bugs or anything like that. It was actually just really washing the vine. So that there were two things that were done, the cleansing and also the pruning, and that was the thing that was done. Now, our Lord prunes. He comes into our lives, and he takes out of our lives those things that offend, and sometimes it hurts when he prunes us, friends, and it is something that's very painful. Many times he takes out of your life and my life the things that are hindering us, and I can speak up to that subject. He's done that in my life in two or three different ways, and I know that's what he was doing. He was pruning, and I'm here to confess that it hurt. I'm not sure, but what the Lord was pruning me when he permitted me to have cancer and has permitted it to stay in my body. I'm of the opinion that that's what the Lord is doing. I'm not complaining. I just want him to let me stay around and keep giving out the word of God, friends. That's the important thing. But I think he prunes us, you know, reaches in. And one of the reasons that so many of God's children are getting hurt today, even by this method of pruning, is that they're getting so far from God. They're so far out of fellowship. I think the closer that we get to him, that the better it would be, and it wouldn't hurt so much. What we need to do is to get very close to the Lord in these days. I remember when I was a boy, on April Fool, why a bunch of us at school played hooky. I personally was a very good boy, but I got with some bad boys, and they played hooky, and so I went with them. And we left our books at school, and then we took off for the creek, and we went fishing. And the creek was up, I remember, this particular time, and we didn't catch any fish, but we sure had a big day. And we came in about time school was out after everybody left, and we decided that the proper thing to do was to go get our books, take them home, so that our parents wouldn't suspect that we'd played hooky. Principal of the school, I think, thought we'd do that also, because when we walked in the room, he walked in after us, and he said, "Boys, I'm glad to see you. Follow me." And we'd been over that trail before, so we followed him to his office, and he said, "Wait here," while he went to get his switches, and he had some long ones. And one fellow who'd been in there quite a few times, and he really knew his way around, he gave us about the best advice I think that I've ever had. He said, "Now, when he comes down the first time, don't move away from him, move close to him. Take a step toward him." And you know, that is the best advice I think I ever got. So the first time he hit me, I moved right close into him. Fact of the matter is, by the time he finished, I was right up where his fist was, and he wasn't hurting me at all. And you know, that was good advice. And I've learned that that's good advice today. The Lord, you know, prunes us. He chastises us. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." It's not a sign that he's against you. He's trying to get fruit out of your life, friend. And you and I begin to move away from him and complain. Thing to do is get close to him. And when we get close to him, it won't hurt nearly as much. And so that's the thing that he does, is that he prunes that and he cleanses it. Now, how does he cleanse us? He cleanses us through the word of God. The next verse says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." How does the word of God cleanse us? I'm saving that till next time. And then I want to talk about the fact that he takes these branches that don't bear fruit and he burns them. We're going to look at that also next time. This is a tremendous passage of scripture, friends, and we hope you'll be with us next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, that's true. This is a tremendous section of Scripture, and I'm so glad for your company on the Bible Bus as we travel through this farewell discourse from the Lord Jesus. Next time, we'll study how the Word of God cleanses us and also what the Lord meant when He talked about cutting off branches that don't bear fruit and burning them. It's going to be a great study again tomorrow. If you'd like to study this for yourself, I'd recommend picking up Dr. McGee's paperback commentaries on the Book of John. Both volumes are available at a special discount this month. You can order them in the online store at ttb.org or by giving us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. We'll continue our studies in John 15 tomorrow on the Bible Bus. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat.
Jesus, take it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.